Give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again?
Welcome to HopeCast, where our true stories brighten your day by providing insight and encouragement. I invite you to listen as my husband, Dr. Ken Brown, shares one of his amazing personal experiences that will inspire and stir your soul. Even in the challenges of life's darkest moments, you can always find a glimmer of hope through the love of God. So settle in, open your heart, and let's journey together through the power of storytelling.
All things to all people. When you say yes to God, you never know where He's going to lead you. I know that I was helping out the police department and police officers because I was sharing my faith with them and also trying to help them through their divorces and marital problems and the stress that they were facing. But the problem was, they weren't listening to me. That's because I wasn't a police officer. I was 26 years old, and I had this background in psychology, and I had a passion to help the first responders because there had been so many suicides on the Metropolitan Toronto Police Force. And I had a friend, a very dear friend, who had literally collapsed. And I did not know what to do, so I was trying to help them. Well, I was running these meetings with my dear friend Dino and Lynn Doria. And we were at the Metropolitan Toronto Police Association. There was a man named CS, for short, and he was the president of the Metropolitan Toronto Police Department. And he actually let us use his beautiful facilities. And he's a very powerful man, because he was like the president of the police association, can you imagine, in charge of almost 10,000 people. And I was doing these seminars on topics of stress resistance and recovery from post-traumatic stress in 1979. And all of a sudden, what happened was he walked into the room. There were maybe 50 people in the room, and everybody, it's not like they stood to attention, but he was the president of the association, and they showed such deference. And he sat at the very back of the room. Well, I wasn't completely unnerved, but the reverence that these fellow members held him in, it was sort of like sort of their chosen chief. And I just didn't really know what to make of it because I was not in the police community. Well, what happened was I got a call, you know, and from him, he said, you may begin. So thank you so much. And so I started to talk. Today's lecture, I was talking about if you have problems in your relationship, it may slide over into the job. In fact, the Navy SEALs always say you got to get your family, you know, families in order in order to go on deployment. Because if you're having open problems, it could affect your judgment. And so I was encouraging them that if they were having marital problems or family problems, get some help. Talk to a counselor like me. Get someone to help you with your problems because you want to be the best you can be in the job. All of a sudden, from the back of the room, I heard CS shout out, BS! BS! I call BS on you! And he stands up, his chair screeches, and he stands up and he starts pointing his finger at me. He says, you're not even a cop, and who are you to lecture us? And just because I went, you know, through a divorce doesn't mean I'm a bad police officer. In fact, I'm a better cop than you'll never be. And he just was, he tore into me. And I said, but CS, I meant no offense. I was talking about, theoretically, what would happen if you go through problems. It could potentially affect your job because stress is cumulative. But he was not hearing me. He was just saying, until you walk a mile in my moccasins, until you're in my shoes, until you're part of this, the job, and have done it yourself, you don't know nothing. You have no right to speak. I had never been shut down so completely ever in my entire life. And I stammered, well, thank you, I appreciate the time. Needless to say, CS never invited me back to his Metropolitan Toronto Police Association building. at least for another couple of years. I went home, humiliated, disappointed. I longed to help these officers. I didn't know why they wouldn't listen to me. I was just trying to make a difference. And that night, I couldn't sleep. And the Lord brought me to a passage in 1 Corinthians 9, where Paul says, to the Jew he becomes as a Jew, to the Greek he becomes as a Greek. He becomes all things so that by any means he may win some. In fact, he even says he becomes weak to the weak so that he can relate to them, so he could in fact reach out to them and bond them. I didn't know what this meant. So fitfully I fell asleep and I woke up again, only this time with a certain direction from God that I was supposed to join the police department. Me? Join the police department? I wanted to be a brain surgeon more than a police officer. You know, when you're a kid growing up, you always think about playing cops and robbers. I was daydreaming and pretending and practicing to be a cardiovascular surgeon or a physicist, never a cop. But you know, God knows better than we do. He knows the mystery that's hidden inside of your life. So in obedience, the next day, I went downtown Toronto. I filled out a whole bunch of applications, and I took a test. It was like a simple test, I guess. It was sort of a comprehensive test, just a general test. And I got a call literally later that day, and they said it was the highest grade mark that they had ever received, and they really were interested in having me do a physical. I said, you want me to do a physical? Like a physical test. So I said, okay. So I went and to this police academy, and there I was running a couple miles and doing sit-ups and push-ups, and I was trying to encourage the other people that were doing it because I was in fairly good shape. I was 26 and, you know, in my prime. Anyways, some of these people were trying to get on the job, so I was encouraging them, come on, you can do it. And then they were doing chin-ups. Come on, you can do it. One more, you can do it. And then I was doing sit-ups. And little did I know that this guy was watching me. He was Sergeant Sharkey. He was a Vietnam vet, and he was a Green Beret. And he was not liking, I didn't know this, he did not like the fact that I was talking, that I was trying to encourage the other 12 or so potential recruits. So then when I was doing my push-ups, he says, you didn't touch your chest. You have to do them over with. We're going to invalidate that response. So he says, do it over. And this time he put his hand on the floor and he made me touch my chest. Well, I put my very best effort in and I worked out. And apparently I got the record in the amount of push-ups that they'd ever gotten. And he says, that's impressive for a second set. And I said, did I do them right, Sarge? And he says, yes. Anyway, 2 days later, I got a phone call. Report to headquarters to a Sergeant Dennis Teely. We'll change the name. A Sergeant Dennis Teely, who says, when I walked through his door of his interview room, he says, close the door. And I closed the door. And he said this, if you tell anybody what I'm about to tell you, I'm going to deny it. And who are they going to believe, you or me? I said, well, likely they'll believe me. He says, what? And I says, yeah, because I don't lie. He says, that's exactly the problem. I see here in this application that you've been a missionary, that you're an ordained minister, that you've spent your whole life in Christian service. Now, how in the world do you think you can become a cop? What are you going to do? Lie? You're going to tell the truth and get one of your brother cops in trouble? I said, oh, no, it's quite the reverse. I'm going to keep them safe. He said, what do you mean you're going to keep them safe? By telling the truth? Sometimes you got to cover up. I said, Sergeant, are you really saying to me that I have to lie to get this job? I'm actually thinking that this is a test. Actually, you don't lie, and you want to be a man of truth, and you want to be a truth teller. And when we go to court, we swear on a Bible, and we promise to tell the truth. And when we make our notes, and when we want to tell the truth at all times. He says, no, you've got to protect the thin blue line. You've got to protect your truth. What if something goes down? I said, well, that's exactly what I'm saying. Because I'm going to follow protocol, because I'm going to follow the rules, I'm going to tell everybody who I work with that I'm a Christian, and I follow God, and I want to do the right thing, and I want to follow the rules, and I'm not going to lie, so I'm going to keep them safe. But because they know that, they're not going to go out of line. They're not going to step out of the boundaries because they're going to know that they have to do things, at least when they're with me, by the book, which is the right way to do it because we're all supposed to follow protocol. The protocols are there for a reason. It's ordered because they're there to protect us. He says, I never thought of it that way. He says, but let me ask you another question. He says, I just know for a fact that you won't be able to be a cop because the Bible says, since you're this goody-two-shoe Christian, the Bible says turn the other cheek. Ha! How are you going to turn the other cheek when you're a cop? I said, Sergeant Seeley, you don't know the scriptures. Let me help you understand them. In Romans 13, it says the authorities that exist by God. And God has given them a sword. It says the sword is an instrument of lethality. They don't bear the sword in vain. In other words, the police officers are guardians of society. And in fact, failing to do something, God will hold you accountable. He'll hold the watchman on the wall who doesn't warn people. They hold them accountable. And if we don't do what we have to do in order to protect life and property, then God will hold us accountable because our mission, our goal, our oath is to protect and to serve people. So you can turn the other cheek when it comes to something personal, but when it comes to someone that is hurting somebody, raping somebody, robbing somebody, protecting the innocent, protecting the weak, might isn't right. We use might for right. We use might in order to protect society. He says, well, I never really thought of it that way. I said, well, that's an interesting, but it is interesting. If you look at it that way, the force that is entrusted to us, graduated use of force, the way that the force is entrusted is a responsibility to be used judiciously in order to help people. He says, well, he says, you know, how do you think you're ever get along with people? So I quoted that verse. I said, to the Jew, you become as a Jew. To the Greek, you become as a Greek. To the weak, you become as weak. You become all things to all people in order to win them. I want to relate not just to my fellow officers, but to the community that I serve. He says, and that's what I have against you. I said, what do you have against me? Well, remember when you went to that test 3 days ago? I said, yes. He said, who died and put you in charge? Who made you into this cheerleader for all those people? I was talking to Sergeant Seeley, and do you know what he was saying? He was saying that you were there, you know, coaching everybody, encouraging everybody. You were actually, you know, rooting them on. Who put you like that? Who told you to do that? Well, I said, I was just trying to encourage everybody to do the best that they could do. He said, but no one told you to do that. I said, so can I use, can I encourage people? What's wrong with that? He says, because on the street, if you smile too much, and if you don't have the right mental toughness, then people will take advantage of you. And I said, right now, aren't I displaying some mental toughness in the middle of this interview? Do you think I'm backing down with you? And do you think I'm going to back down on the street just because I start by showing kindness? Never confuse kindness with weakness. Do you realize for the next 2.5 hours, this went on? This went on and escalated. He got more and more intense. He was trying to demonstrate to me that my faith in Jesus Christ made it impossible for me to serve as a police officer. I finally said to him, Dennis, I said, Sergeant Dennis, I said, do you realize that there are at least 200 officers that I know, because we set up this fellowship of Christian peace officers with Sergeant Dino and Lynn Doria. I said, did you know that there's all these officers? They're not lying, and they're already very successful in their career. So there are trailblazers. There are pioneers. There's people that have already served God who've been on the job. And I said, I intend to join them, if possible. He says, I can't believe this. 2.5 hours, you sit there cool as a cucumber. I'm throwing everything at you. I'm asking you all these questions. You just put your hand up and you say, well, let me answer that. And you give me a clear answer. And you're not even sweating. I don't understand. I really don't understand how you can just be like that, because I've been doing interviews for 5 years. And I said, well, it's very simple. Sergeant, do you understand that before I came here, I prayed for you? You see, I don't know if I'm supposed to be a police officer or not. I feel led by God. I feel motivated. I really want to do this, but only if God has told me to do that. So I was praying for you because I know that you've been given the task, assigned the responsibility because of your training and your life experience in order to discern who's the best candidate for the job. And so I've been praying for you that you would have wisdom from God to know if I'm a good fit or not for this job. And so I'm trusting that the Lord will speak to you. I'm trusting that the Lord will guide you and in turn guide me. And, you know, I want the job. Don't get me wrong, Sarge. I want the job. But even if you say no, it's not a waste or a loss. Because do you know why? He says, why? I said, simple. All the questions, the many questions that you've been asking indicate to me that deep inside you have an interest, that you yourself are asking questions and wondering if it's possible for you to have a faith in God. He says, what? I said, yes, I don't believe it's our time is wasted no matter what, because I've got a chance to share my faith with you. With that, he stood up abruptly and he pointed his finger and he said, get out, of my office. And all of a sudden, I remembered, CS, the Metropolitan Toronto Police Association president. I think I did it again. I just offended this man. So I walked out of his office feeling a little ashamed and realized maybe I went too far. Maybe I pushed a little too much. Maybe I had somehow inadvertently became a Bible thumper and hitting poor Sergeant Seeley's head with my Bible. But in any case, I just left it with God. I started to pray. A week later, I got a note saying, report to the police department. And I got sworn in by the mayor of Toronto. And he took such an interest in me, and he kept on saying, why do you want to become a cop? Well, I'm already doing these lectures trying to help officers in their job and helping them survive. And do you know what he said? When you graduate, I want you to come here and report to me and make suggestions of how we can make the training better and how we could help officers. I said, well, we're already trying to do that with this Fellowship of Christian Peace Officers. Well, then after that, I joined the job, went in for this training, did a years of training. The Lord blessed me. I got the highest grade that they'd ever received, 98.6%. And I got advanced credentialing. Little did I know, for the next couple years, Sergeant Seeley was watching me. And he phoned me, and he says, I took a chance in referring you, but you're not letting me down. I was hoping that you wouldn't let me down. A year after that phone call, we were doing one of these police officer appreciation days at the largest church. We had 2,200 police officers and civilians there. We had motorcycles. And at this time, that sergeant, Staff Sergeant Seeley, was in charge of the cadets and in charge of all the motorcycles. And he led his column of beautifully polished Harley Davidson motorcycles with all of the cadets in full dress uniform into the church. And they all sat at the front row. And then we had a famous speaker from California speak, and he shared his faith and how he had started this Fellowship of Christian Peace Officers. And would you believe it? At the end of that service, at his altar call, guess who went to the front of People's Church? Staff Sergeant Dennis Seeley. And he gave his heart to Christ, and he became a new person in Jesus. And it was so funny because it was the year after that, I actually moved right around the corner from him, and we became close and fast friends. And it's all because of Jesus. And you never know when God calls you where he's going to lead you. And you know, God's got a plan for your life too. We can have an adventure with God when we submit to the Lord. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning into Hopecast for inspiring stories that will touch your heart. If today's story encouraged you, then please subscribe to our channel and visit us at hopecast.org to learn more. You can also watch the video version of this story and many more from Dr. Brown on our Hopecasts, YouTube, or listen on our Spotify, Apple, or Amazon Music podcasts. Until next time, keep holding on to hope, and please share these stories with someone who really needs encouragement. May God bless you.
I've been searching and I've been seeking. It seems like you're nowhere to be found. And I'd do anything just to see you. If I close my eyes, will I see you now? 'Cause I know faith holds and what can be seen. But my hope feels like a distant dream. Give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around?